We do have, starting now, at this point in time, our interviews. Let's welcome back a program, a gentleman who's been on our program on numerous occasions, former Energy Minister Kevin Ramnarayan. Good morning to you, and welcome back to our show here this morning. It's nice to have you with us as we get back into some of our discussions related to the budget and what we can expect next Monday from our Minister of Finance, probably what she'll be looking at. Welcome back to our program.
Good morning. I think we're working now.
Yes, I think so. We're hearing you clearly, so that's definitely a good sign. Nice to have you back with us here this morning.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, everybody, and thanks for having me on this 26th of September 2023.
Well, it's just...
Good morning. Everybody returning to work this morning, returning to school. Be safe on the roads. Have a productive day.
Yeah, just 1 week away, and we'll be hearing from our Minister of Finance as to what the plan is for the next financial year. And there are numerous voices that we are hearing already, the various chambers and stakeholders and others already making their pronouncements, looking for certain things in the budget, looking for certain things to be addressed in the budget. And recently we had a whole big discussion about foreign exchange. And I know that you've been making some pronouncements on the issue of foreign exchange. For those people who may have missed some of what transpired in our earlier discussions, the earlier discussions took place prior to Republic Bank limiting what its customers could spend in any given time frame when it comes to foreign exchange. That, of course, is going to place additional strain, burden, whatever you want to describe it as, on some of the businesses that deal in foreign exchange because they don't have another choice. That's what they have to use. Let's look at the budget and probably some of what you think the finance minister may have to do if he's to address this foreign exchange issue.
Well, to understand the foreign exchange system in Trinidad and Tobago, you have to understand the operations of the energy sector in Trinidad and Tobago. And, you know, ultimately, when you look at our economy, everything goes back to the energy sector. And its importance is really, underscored in that regard. And just to give the public, the listening audience out there, some idea of the role of the energy sector in your foreign exchange availability, or the inflows of foreign exchange. Foreign exchange, or in particular US dollars, is like blood flowing through the body of a human being. And, you know, if that blood stops flowing, and we've had, you know, reductions in the flow of foreign exchange in the last 8 years, then you have difficulty procuring goods and services that we need that, you know, exists outside of Trinidad and Tobago. And most of what we consume in Trinidad and Tobago is imported. Our cars, our pharmaceuticals, our food. We pay university fees online. You know, we have to buy subscriptions for Netflix and Amazon Prime, just using some examples. So everything requires foreign exchange. In 2022, just by way of explaining the system briefly, in 2022, because of course we don't have data for 2023, the year still going on, we have some monthly data, but for 2022, the authorized dealers, and by authorized dealers, we mean mainly banks, purchased $5.5 billion from the public. Now, who is the public? Well, the public is not really you and I, Satish. Because we could not be selling the authorized dealers or the banks $5.5 billion. So who is selling that amount of US dollars to the banks? And I could tell you 80% of that number I just called was sold to our local banks by energy companies who are converting their US dollars into TT dollars in our economy to finance their operations. And those would be companies such as BP, Shell, Atlantic LNG, and the National Gas Company in the main. There will be others. A couple of the Point Lisa's plants are involved in that too. So the inflow of US dollars into our banks comes from two sources. One, energy companies converting US dollars, and two, the central bank intervening in the market to sell US dollars to the commercial banks. So in 2022, the central bank's intervention was to the tune of $1.3 billion. But the banks were able to buy $5.5 billion from and mainly energy companies. So you begin to see how important the energy sector is in that regard, in the Forex market. At the same time, the banks now will sell. The banks don't only buy, the banks sell US dollars. And in 2022, the banks sold $6.6 billion to everybody who wanted US. You know, whether it be Massey, whether it be John Smith, whether it be, you know, Satish, I don't know if you bought any Satish, or whether it be large companies that import things, you know, the price smarts and so on, right? So that is how our Forex market works. What has happened is that the end of COVID has seen a surge, and Mr. Minister Imbert is correct in that assessment, that there has been a surge in demand for US dollars in, I would say, the last 18 months. And a lot of that, and again, he is correct, a lot of that is coming from our credit cards. Now, this is not necessarily you and I buying a book on Amazon. I wanted to buy a book last night on Amazon. This would be, there are businesses in Trinidad, businessmen in Trinidad that use their credit cards to run their business because of the problem we've had with foreign exchange, which has persisted for many years. This has been going on for, in my estimation, over 8 years. But it's gotten progressively worse with time. So just coming back now to the central bank. The central bank, if the central bank sees that there is a problem where there is an imbalance between what the banks could supply and what the public needs, the central bank would intervene to keep the market from, you know, going out of whack. Because we have what is called a managed float in Trinidad and Tobago. Where does the central bank get that US dollars, those US dollars from? The central bank gets the US dollars from what we call our foreign reserves. But our foreign reserves, just by way of some numbers, our foreign reserves were somewhere in the region of $11.4 billion, very healthy, in 2014. They have now come down to $6.2 billion. So we've had a big drop in our foreign reserves because while the central bank is dipping into the foreign reserves bucket, if you imagine this foreign, you know, if you imagine this as a bucket, the replenishment of that bucket from the energy sector has not been equal to or greater than the amount the central bank is dipping out. So the foreign reserves have come down. Just to give you some more numbers on the foreign reserves, at the end of 2015, the foreign reserves of Trinidad and Tobago were $9.9 billion. By the end of 2022, they came down to $6.8 billion, or a 31% decline in that 7-year period. That 6.8 has now become $6.2 billion. So our foreign reserves are in decline. And the energy sector has been having issues, of course, with their own profitability. And there are other issues related to the issuance of VAT bonds earlier this year that had an effect on the foreign exchange market. So it's important to explain that, to explain the inflow. So the banks get it, the US dollars, foreign reserves from two sources. when companies sell it to them, and those companies are mainly energy companies, and two, when they get it from the central bank. At the same time, the bank has to settle your credit card transactions and sell U.S. dollars, you know, mainly to businessmen who need U.S. dollars to buy foreign used cars, buy the rice that we eat, buy the pharmaceuticals and so on. So it is really the lifeblood of Trinidad and Tobago. And we've been having this challenge, and it got worse recently with the Republic Bank. And Republic Bank was not the first bank to have done that. Another bank had done that a few years ago. And most people expect that banks will continue to curtail the amount of U.S. dollars that its customers could use in a monthly cycle.
Mm.
So it is not going to get better. There's nothing that says that it's going to get better. It is going to get worse.
Okay, but from the figures that you've outlined to us, that seems like a significant amount of foreign exchange circulating within.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The
I mean, this is.
But even though, because 6.7 billion is, that's a lot, but yet still there is this cry by businesses, by citizens, by almost everyone that they can't get foreign exchange, they can't get U.S. So where is the problem? Is it about the distribution of the foreign exchange? Do we need
it
to?
It might well be the distribution, because of course there are businesses who have access to their own U.S. dollars. And don't have to go. I just wanted to make that point. There are some businesses that have, I could tell you that in the last 8 years, some businessmen have very wisely invested in businesses in the United States, in the CARICOM region that generate U.S. dollars. That gives them a source of U.S. dollars outside of, you know, having to go to the bank and line up for U.S. dollars or make a desperate plea for U.S. dollars. But yeah, there is a lot of U.S. dollars circulating in the country. But again, the supply is not matching the demand. And we had a particular problem earlier this year when the government issued a bond to raise money to pay VAT rebates. And that money, of course, was, you know, collected as TT dollars, and the VAT rebates were paid to many of the energy companies. This is, we're talking about April, May 2023 here. And those companies then had this TT dollar inflow, and therefore they had less need to convert, right? And that would account for what I saw as a significant decline in the conversion of US dollars by the energy companies in the last, I would say, 5 months, or there about 4 to 5 months. So it's so that would have contributed to the supply demand imbalance in the forex market. So let's see what the minister he has come out and he has said he does not interfere with the he has no role in the commercial operations and decisions of commercial banks. I take that. But the government has to have some solution to this problem. The minister has gone on record since 2015. I think he's the longest serving finance minister in memory. he's gone on record as saying that the government does not support, let me phrase it better, or the government will defend the exchange rate, meaning the $6.79 to a US dollar. So they have done that, and the central bank has done that. But there's a lot of pressure. I could tell you there's going to be increasing pressure on Trinidad and Tobago to defend 679, right? And the only way to defend 679 is for the central bank to keep intervening in the market, as they do. But the pool from which they have been intervening, as I just described, the foreign reserves, have been in decline. So those are some of the challenges we face as a country. And I mean, I hope the minister doesn't come on Monday and you know, begin to boast and to crow. I hope he comes with a very sober explanation of where we are as a country with our economy, and to pull us out of a lot of these negative numbers that we're seeing. You know, we've had, for example, our real GDP has, we've had economic growth in 2022, but everybody did, because everybody in the world is coming out of COVID. But when you look at the period 2015 to 2022, our economy contracted collectively in that period by 17%. You know, when you look at our energy sector in that period, it contracted by 28%. So we really have to hear from the minister on Monday how the government intends to get this big engine of the economy cranking again, and that's the energy sector. It's been slowing down, it's been in decline, and that affects everything. I just explained the relationship between that energies, between the energy sector and your forex. And it trickles through the entire economy, because at the end of the day, I always tell Roger Hussein, at the end of the day, with all the economic statistics that we push around, what matters is money. And what matters is earning, the government earning more money and getting that money to circulate in the economy. And I think that there's a problem with money circulating down to the most vulnerable in the society. And that has manifested itself in different ways. There's a lack of economic opportunity, which is precipitating migration, and the inability for money to trickle as it ought to the lower rungs of society, the more vulnerable people, has precipitated some, you know, crime. Not all crime is economically driven, because when Trinidad and Tobago was doing very well back in 2008, we had lots of crime. But one has to accept that there would be a relationship between economic opportunity and the propensity towards criminal behavior. So it affects everything, Satish, the economy. And, you know, I don't want to berate, I don't want to go back into the economic philosophers of the 19th century, but Karl Marx did say that a society stands on its economy, right? And everything comes or everything flows out of economic relations. So a healthy economy is a prerequisite for stability and prosperity and so on. And that's why we listen with anticipation on Monday to what the minister has to say. People might want to know what he has to say and how it impacts their life. There's always the issue of fuel, gasoline and diesel. We don't know. The minister has had several changes. I think I've lost count of the amount of times he has increased super and diesel. So let's hear what he's coming with on Monday. I personally don't see the need to do anything to the fuel prices in 2023, 2024, but this minister has had many occasions he has done that. So those are some of the things. I think the government will also seek to use the budget on Monday to see if they could address the crime in the economy, the crime in Trinidad and Tobago, whether they could direct expenditure towards social programs and so on. I don't see that as being a solution. I mean, we need better border control. We need more strategic policing and so on to treat with those issues.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you have any thoughts on Monday,
you've spoken before on the issue of the foreign exchange and our foreign reserves and how it's going down, and we don't seem to have measures in place to fix that or to earn more foreign exchange. And you've been speaking about not just you, the Energy Chamber has made some pretty strong pronouncements on the future of the energy industry in this country if things don't change. And when the Energy Chamber, which is usually an organization that does not make those kinds of pronouncements, comes out and says, hey, listen, this is something we need to look at, you have to sit up and take notice, because they are not seen as political in any way whatsoever. And their comments should not be perceived as being politically aligned or inspired or whatever else you want to describe it as. They're speaking about the future of their industry.
Okay, yeah. Well, I want to read for you a quotation from the Prime Minister, Dr. Keith Rowley, as reported in the Express of September 13, 2022. And I'm reading what the Express wrote. The Express says, he, meaning the Prime Minister, referred to a particular diagram that shows what recent productions from recent fields have done with respect to allowing us to produce gas at the level that we are producing now, which is 2.9 billion cubic feet. That figure has now fallen, by the way, to about 2.6. And the Express goes on to report what the Prime Minister says, as they said, and if we do not make, this is the Prime Minister talking, and if we do not make decisions that are to be made now, and the investments that are to be made now, the diagram shows that by 2026, 2027, 2028, the levels of gas that will be available in Trinidad and Tobago, if no improvements are had, will have far-reaching consequences for government revenues, and I dare say for the quality of life of all the people of Trinidad and Tobago. Mm. And I really want to get through this morning, so I've ended the quote. I really want to get through to the listeners this morning that the production of natural gas affects your life. It affects the quality of your life. It affects your future. And if it's not turned around, then we have to look for other things in Trinidad and Tobago to generate revenue and to generate foreign exchange. Mm. And that is not easy to do. It's not an easy thing to do. That diversification is something we've been pursuing since 1973. In fact, we're approaching the 50th anniversary of what triggered the first oil boom in 1973, which was a war in the Middle East. And so the Prime Minister here is giving a warning. I mean, this was more than a year ago now, September 13, 2022. And then the Energy Chamber came with their warning of 2 months ago, which, you know, I read out on the radio station too, where the Energy Chamber had a similar warning that if we don't turn this energy sector around, there are dire consequences for Trinidad and Tobago in the not too distant future. And I think those consequences have already begun to wash ashore. So that is where we are. If we don't turn around this big sector, then the Prime Minister's warning will come to pass, as with the Energy Chamber's warning. So that is not to scare people this morning, but it's important to know where you are. It is important to define reality. So let's hear what they have to say on Monday.
Yeah.
Or not to say.
Based on the projections that the energy sector has been putting out and some of the discussions that we've been seeing, the signing of an agreement most recently between this country and Venezuela, do you think that's going to bring about the kind of change that we need?
Well, I mean, I saw the editorials in the newspapers celebrating something, and I don't think they know what they were celebrating. I mean, we don't know what was signed, right? We don't know what was signed, but we be clapping and be celebrating, and it was good, right? I mean, it's like you imagine you're passing and see somebody just on the street corner clapping. And you say, what you're clapping about? And the person says, I don't know. You might think that person is mad. So I was led to believe that there are some people in the media who might be like that person clapping on the street corner and not knowing what they're clapping about. We don't know what was signed. We don't know when this Dragon Gas will begin its development. There are wells to be drilled. There's a pipeline to be laid. We don't know what is the role of the NGC and Shell. Neither of them were there in Caracas last week. We don't know what the cost of this thing is. We don't know when the gas is going to come. But so therefore, I don't see that as something that we could depend on, because we don't know when it's going to materialize.
Yeah.
We welcome any progress that is being made between the two countries. But we don't know if that is going to materialize. So therefore, that cannot be what we are depending on to pull us out of this hole. We have to make do with what we have, which is the reserves in the ground, that belong to us. Therefore, we have a signing ceremony today where the government is going to sign 3 production sharing contracts with BP and Shell for deep water blocks. That is not going to manifest itself in production for a very long time. And I can tell you, I signed 9 production sharing contracts for deep water blocks between 2012 and 2014. And none of those blocks is in production today.
Yeah.
Talking about bringing one or two of them into production by the end of this decade. So what Minister Young will be signing with BP and Shell for deep water blocks will manifest itself in 2033 or 2032 or thereabouts.
This is where we're going to have to leave it, because we do have a couple messages to take us up to news. But the discussion, we've only just begun.
I can't believe it's 6:55 already.
It is, actually. We are going to have to wait, next Monday to find out what he has to say.
Well, let's see what the minister comes with next Monday, and we could always continue our discussion beyond that.
Definitely.
But this okay, Satish, thanks very much, and I'm happy to see we got the technology too.
We did. And that, of course, ladies and gentlemen, former Energy Minister Kevin Ramnarayan.